This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman and you'll get a $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and once again, it is time for our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Your questions come to us via radio program at AOL.com that gives people an opportunity to ask us questions who don't get a chance to call in to my weekend radio program. It's from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can listen to it live via drhoffman.com. Under Listen, there's a drop-down, and you can find a link to the live stream of that broadcast. But hey, no problem. If you miss that broadcast, you can always check on Monday because we post podcasts on Monday. And presumably, if you're listening to this via podcast, you're pretty podcast savvy, so you know all about it. So radio program at AOL.com gets questions to us. How are you doing today, Layla?
I'm okay. How are you, Dr. Hoffman?
Very well, thank you. So, let's see, we've got a bunch of questions to answer, but yes. Before we get to that, anything in the news particularly striking for you this week?
Anything in the news particularly striking, besides watching all the election coverage, primary...
Election mania
and all of that.
It's like, wake me
it's
up when
over.
It's over, please.
Yeah, really.
It's a particularly... distasteful electoral season, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not venture into the treacherous world of politics. Let's talk about some of the news stories that have come our way this week. I was struck a couple of weeks ago by an interesting story that suggests that Americans consume virtually half of their calories from what are called ultra-processed foods.
Oof.
Ultra-processed foods are even worse than you think, because ultra-processed foods are even worse than processed food. Processed food is food that is, you take some natural ingredients and you throw them together and you kind of process them. Mm. But ultra-processed foods, the definition of ultra-processed foods, is just, it hardly merits the name of food, because it's mostly additives, it's mostly sugar, it's mostly poor quality fats with artificial flavors
yeah.
and colorings. Basically, it's industrial strength junk.
Yeah, and it's hyper-palatable junk.
Yes.
Meaning it will melt in your mouth, so you want more, so you don't even feel all those calories going in. Well, you wouldn't feel calories going in, but you're ingesting more calories than you think.
Right, highly addictive and actually designed to be so. Okay.
Yeah.
Another story that I post, and by the way, follow me on Facebook, because you'll see a lot of these stories posted on Facebook. If we don't talk about them on the radio program, it's a good way to stay abreast of the latest stories, because I take pride in curating the best stories for my Facebook followers so that they can stay abreast of what's happening. And here's another one. You worked at the Atkins Center,
yes.
right? So one of the bones that I had to pick with Atkins, by the way, the program, has really stood the test of time.
Yeah.
And in a way, I got to say, and people may not like this analogy, but Bob Atkins was a little bit the Donald Trump of integrative medicine. Because in an era where everybody was sort of saying, a vegetarian diet, Mediterranean diet, he came in like a bull in a china shop. And his personality.
Yes.
He was a gruff kind of guy. He would have gotten uh-huh. along great with the Donald. He would have. He came in and he declared the bona fides and the efficacy of the low-carb, high-protein, meat-laden diet. Perish the thought, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I had a bone to pick with him, because many of the diets he recommended, He was aware that NutraSweet was problematic. He was aware that saccharin wasn't good, but he recommended Splenda because
yes.
he wanted to give the people a little concession to their sweet tooth. So he said,
right.
use Splenda, it's okay. And I said, not so fast, because even though there wasn't the smoking gun evidence, I
then,
thought it was potentially harmful,
yes.
and here we have it. This is a study performed in Italy. Splenda gets a void stamp after being linked to cancer again. Okay, this isn't the first time. Yet another study linking Splenda to cancer. A recent study performed at the Ramazzini Institute in Italy has revealed that the active ingredient in Splenda called sucralose significantly increased the risk of leukemia in mice.
Oh, my.
Okay, now, look, mice aren't people. And some studies done in mice don't transfer well to people, but it is concerning.
It causes leukemia in something.
Yeah,
that's concerning.
That is concerning. We found a significant dose-related increased incidence of male mice bearing malignant tumors and a significant dose-related increased incidence of what are called hematopoietic neoplasias in males. That's blood cancers. These doses were actually equivalent to, I mean, you might think, well, they gave people the gallons. I mean, sometimes they do studies which are bogus. I mean, you take any substance, you put, you know, overfeed a substance.
Yeah.
But they tried to give comparable to what a person, you know, using a artificial sweetener might consume.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's in the International Journal of Occupational and Environmental Health, pretty good journal. This is not the first time Splenda's come under spotlight. Splenda safety was downgraded from safe to caution in 2013 by the Center for Science and the Public Interest after the artificial sweetener was linked to cancer for the first time. And I hate to say it, but I told you so.
You know,
you can't fool with Mother Nature.
Yeah. You can't.
And these artificial sweeteners, I mean, stevia, yeah, okay. The only problem with stevia is that when you use stevia, you sort of perpetuate your craving for sweets. You
Absolutely.
Can't really abolish your craving for sweets when you're using an artificial sweetener.
And besides being dangerous, what we found out about Splenda is it also adversely impacts blood sugar. When Dr. Atkins was still alive, that wasn't there. It wasn't even on the horizon. We thought, Splenda can go, but not so. We're finding out that it does cause blood sugar problems in many people. So it's not recommended for that reason as well.
And it may have something to do with the cerebral response, the sensory response to something sweet engenders insulin production.
It
and
does.
Jazzes
Anything
it up.
That tastes sweet.
Right.
Even the anticipation of taking in a food like that can cause us to already start squirting out some insulin, apparently.
Yeah. So. And then not to mention the potential effects on the microbiome that these things have, and that somehow these disrupt the bacteria that may influence metabolism. And we now think that the bacteria in your gut have a lot to do with one's risk for metabolic syndrome or insulin resistance or diabetes. So anyway, that's not good. And finally, another story that crossed my desk, very interesting. Maria Sharapova, who is the tennis star, she got out ahead of what would have been a disqualification by WADA, which is the World Anti-Doping Association.
WADA.
Because she was... WADA, right? Which was because she was using a banned substance.
Mm.
The banned substance, it sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit. It's called Meldonium.
Ooh.
It's like, try Meldonium.
Can I have some WADA with my Meldonium? Sorry.
Well, it Meldonium sounds like a made-up drug, but it's actually a real drug that apparently was developed in Latvia, and that's pretty close to Russia, right? Mm. It's in the Baltic area.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that about 27% of Russian competitive athletes use Meldonium as their performance-enhancing drug of choice, among others. The Russians are notorious for using performance-enhancing drugs.
Wow.
So the story behind Meldonium, it's supposed to be a performance enhancer. They say they gave it to Russian troops in Afghanistan when the Russians were fighting in Afghanistan. It's kind of it's reminiscent of the Nazis giving amphetamines to the troops during the Blitzkrieg to enhance their performance, you know, so that they could go, you know, 48 hours and fight, you know, in the Blitzkrieg in on the Western Front and in Russia.
Mm.
And so what is Meldonium? There's a nutritional aspect to this. I did a little digging.
Uh-huh.
What Meldonium is, it's a carnitine blocker. it blocks carnitine. Okay, now how would that help athletic performance? You would think the opposite. You give carnitine to enhance fat oxidation. Carnitine is a shuttle that enables fat to go into the mitochondrion to be burned as fuel. Okay, well, the theory, and it's a kind of a shaky theory in my opinion, is that if you block fat from entering the cell will preferentially use glucose, which supposedly gives you an advantage during times of ischemia. This is how meldonium was developed as a drug for heart failure or for people who have angina. Not a very success. Never really made it as a mainstream drug, not approved in most countries of the world. But they found this off-label kind of illicit application to the world of sports performance. But it seems to me that it's not very well researched. And, you know, athletes sometimes, they're not, you know, the most medically astute people. They kind of go with fads. And I'm not sure if it was more than just a rabbit's foot then, you know, for her, like a lucky charm that she used to help her. Among her conditions that she lists she has magnesium deficiency. Well, okay, maybe that's, you know, all that, you know, losing those electrolytes during those tennis matches. I get it. She might have that. And maybe that was the rationale for her to get something which I think is still legal, which is intravenous magnesium. I think that's still legal. But with the meldonium story, a lot of these athletes get caught because they use something that's technically legal because all these substances keep getting developed. And it's kind of like whack-a-mole. You know, they find this new substance. They say, well, let's evaluate. Oh, no, we're going to make that illegal. Well, she was already using it. So this, I shared this analogy on during my radio program. It's kind of like Hillary Clinton with those emails. She probably should have known better.
Yeah.
But her excuse is, they weren't classified when I transmitted them. And that's what Sharapova's excuse was, is I didn't know, it wasn't, you know, but now I admit to using it and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, all her sponsors are dropping her, which is tens of millions of dollars in endorsements because they want clean athletes. That's one thing you can't do. You can't cheat. So so meldonium is in the headlines. And, you know, I'm not even sure that it really works because if it blocks carnitine, that ain't good. That
probably
ain't good.
Well, you want to be in that glucose-burning, sprinting, running away from predator metabolism so you can be at your best. Especially tennis, which is very spurt-ish, not, you know, it's not like doing a marathon.
Yeah, it's bursts of energy, and I guess there are times where you might get ischemic, you might not have adequate circulation, and maybe you get into anaerobic metabolism and blah, blah, blah. You know, that's, I don't know, it's a shaky rationale. And but meldonium is in the headlines.
Okay. Don't take it, athletes.
And maybe, you know, we give our athletes carnitine, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, should we get on to questions?
Indeed.
Okay, we've got an email from Anna Marie. She writes, I had the calcium score test scan and scored zero in all my arteries. Yay! My physician, however, stated this is an unreliable test, and he doesn't recommend it because patients with a similar score have suffered a heart attack within days of the test.
Well, this physician is very ill-informed, and it's, you know, it's one thing as a physician to not know. And in fact, the you know, ancient dictum from Maimonides, who was a Jewish philosopher but also a physician, he taught his young medical students, teach thy lips to say, I do not know. It's a very important dictum in medicine. If you don't know what you're talking about, do not lay a voodoo curse on your patient because it's very bad. So this woman, who really should be quite reassured that she has a zero score, is now being told that she could literally drop dead. Now, technically, the doctor is correct, because there are very, very rare exceptions where no plaque shows up and you still can get a heart attack. But the test is an excellent predictor of risk. And I use it as a
coronary artery disease.
And so also, It is certainly a good test to help determine who should be on statins, because people who have zero plaque really are very unlikely to get a heart attack.
Right.
And so they don't really, they're not good candidates for statins. On the other hand, there's some patients who have moderate scores and they have very high risk, and some patients who have very high scores and their risk is lower because they're different qualities of plaque. There's plaque that's stable, and there's plaque that's unstable. Mm-hmm. It can sometimes be evaluated using the plaque test. It's called the LPLAC test, or you can use the LPA test, or you can use the CRP test to further refine your risk assessment for a patient.
Mm-hmm.
But it, in my opinion, having a zero score puts you at very low risk of a heart attack.
So you find the test is reliable. That's really her question.
And it's been studied, and they've done statistics, and they find that if you have a zero score, very unlikely, excuse me, if you have a score of 0 to 10, it's a little bit more likely, but still very unlikely. If you score up to 100, it's, you know, you have some risk. If your score is between 100 and 400, you have moderate risk. If it's over 400, you know, you better pay attention. And I've seen patients who have scores as high as 3,000.
Wow.
And they're probably at high risk.
Yeah. Well, Anne-Marie's husband has a score of 0 in all but one artery, which was a 16.
Right.
And the physician...
That's still pretty good.
Yeah. Physician is recommending a statin.
Well, I think that many physicians... Here's the new guidelines for statins. The new guidelines for statins are, if you have a greater than a 10% risk of a coronary event in the next 10 years, regardless of your cholesterol, you go on a statin. Now, what that means is the way that that's set up is that it's very easy to make the case that you have greater than 10% chance of having a heart attack within the next 10 years by some criterion. Either you're older or you're male or you're African American. So it would mean that almost the majority of people would have to be on statins. And that's...
And if we were conspiracy theorists, we would say, and that's the point.
And that's... But we're not.
But we're not.
We would never suggest that the pharmaceutical companies would be so down and dirty as to actually encourage unnecessary use of their medication.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Wow. Anne-Marie, best of luck to you and your husband, and thank you for your question.
Yeah.
All right. We have a question from Caroline. Hi, Layla, Dr. Hoffman. Can you give me some ideas about periodontal disease? My 36-year-old daughter-in-law has just been told that she has bone loss in all four quadrants and periodontal surgery is recommended. Is there a protocol she should follow to prevent future problems? Love the show. Been listening and learning for 20 years. Thank you.
Okay.
She's only 36, well, and she has all this bone loss.
Yeah, but you... It's not as uncommon as it sounds, because when you get periodontal disease, you start to get bone erosion. And it doesn't mean that your jaw is collapsing or disintegrating. It just means that the area that supports the teeth is inflamed and there's some bone loss. And that means it's usually a call for what's called a curettage or some surgery to clean it out, to open up these pockets. And then they'll apply disinfectants to try and kill the germs. And I recently did a podcast with Dr. John Peldiak, who is a dentist, and we talked about ways of dealing with dental problems. And actually, people lose more teeth around periodontal disease than around cavities these days. Periodontal disease is the big problem. So periodontal disease is really a very much a dietary issue. So people who consume a lot of refined starches and sugars and junk food and food that's bereft of nutrients have a much higher incidence of periodontal disease.
People with diabetes, type 2 diabetes, have a higher risk of periodontal disease.
Sure.
And people who don't take care of their periodontal disease, that there's a connection to coronary artery disease.
There's a connection to miscarriages. There's a connection to so many things. So it creates generalized inflammation in the body.
Yeah. I wonder if Caroline's daughter-in-law is a smoker.
She could be a smoker. She could be on a poor diet.
Yeah.
Certain medications predispose to that. Medications that dry your mouth.
Anti-seizure medicines come to mind.
Antidepressants, blood pressure medications, possibly. Certainly urinary tract medications that older people use.
Lots of tetracycline?
Tetracycline damages the teeth, so more it yellows and mottles the teeth. But so anyway, there are a list of drugs that can create problems with the mouth. And so the answer is to number one, consider xylitol gum or lozenges or mouthwash or toothpaste, because xylitol breaks down the biofilms that are in the mouth. We did a whole podcast on that recently with Dr. Peldiak. That's a product that was actually one of our sponsors, Spry Dental Defense System, and Clear Nasal Spray, more for the nasal passages. So also, there's some studies that suggest that more vitamin C is beneficial. Gum bleeding and breakdown is associated with vitamin C deficiency.
CoQ10, but lots and lots of it.
Yes,
like
yes.
600 milligrams a
yes,
day.
Yes, absolutely.
Can be helpful with periodontal disease.
Right.
Some vitamin A, I think.
Right, and there's actually a new product that's being put out by the folks at Clear, which is a probiotic for the mouth, but it's made with blueberry. So it has it comes in these little sachets that you kind of open up, paper sachets that you open up, and you apply this in your mouth, and it repopulates your mouth with beneficial bacteria. You know, periodontal disease is a microbiome disruption.
Yes.
It's a dysbiosis of the mouth.
Yeah.
It's often associated with biofilms. Biofilms can be inhibited with xylitol. So that's a good way to go.
And people don't realize if they're using an alcohol-based mouthwash, which is your Listerine and your Scope, that also is killing off your microbiome, but the good, the beneficial bacteria that's helping to protect you against cavities, strep mutans, or any other
And here's
bacteria.
An interesting one, is that it's actually been shown that by using those types of mouthwash, you may raise your blood pressure. Why? Because the bacteria in your mouth are responsible for changing dietary nitrates into nitric oxide. You have to actually biotransform the foods into the nitric oxide that dilates your blood vessels.
That's fascinating.
When somebody comes in with high blood pressure and they're using Listerine, maybe, or Scope, maybe it's a good idea to stop.
Yeah.
So,
So the microbiome, more cells than cells in our own body. Hail to the microbiome. Wow.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, Caroline, best of luck with your daughter-in-law. Thank you very much
and
for your question.
These would be, there's a dental problem, but I really see this as something that we would like to work with patients.
Yeah.
Patients who suffer from periodontal disease, you're welcome to come in, and we'll try and put you on a healthier program. And it could be a life-changing program that's not just going to help your periodontal disease, but reduce your risk of severe inflammatory disorders, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, and so on. Because the mouth is the tip of the iceberg. It's sort of a portal into your body, and we can sort of see externally what's happening inside you.
Right, right. Okay. We've got a question from Becca. Hello. Could chelation therapy be helpful to people, especially young people who have drunk the lead poisoned water in Flint, Michigan? This could be a situation in which intelligent medicine and public health joins forces.
Well, absolutely. If they would listen to us, we'd be happy to volunteer our resources. Let's do this, because we divide these podcasts into two parts, and I'd like to give this question full airing. So what we'll do is we'll take it up in part two of today's podcast. So please join us for that. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mudin. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla.